I know it ain't great being a Cowboys fan right now. We're a little bit down. Times are tough. That was a back-to-reality game yesterday for sure. But what the Giants did is that's the number one headline from the football weekend. Totally hilarious. A disaster class in trying to manage a franchise here as the Giants get the victory over the Colts. And it was in dominant fashion, playing themselves right out of the number one overall pick. 877-881-1053. Welcome into the G-Bag Nation on a Cowboy Back to Reality Monday. We got the Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup, Carter Freeman on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And we're rocking with you for the next four. We'll get you a McCarthy presser later on this hour. Krusty's Corner is going to be coming up next. And then we'll get Krusty's Corner 2.0 in the Expressway at 520. And I believe we're going to get Jock Peterson, newest Ranger, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Yeah. So we're loaded. Great
heard
to be
good
here.
Things about him.
Yeah, what an awesome guy. Whataburger fan, smashing righties, dong balls all over the place. Yeah. Clubhouse guy. What's not to like?
Mm-hmm.
All right, the Giants, dude. Wait to hear from this Giants fan on the shred line with John Gruden. But Drew Lock yesterday, maybe the most inconvenient time to have the best game of his career. 17 of 23, 309 passing yards, 4 touchdowns passing, no picks. He ran for a score. Based on expected points added, it was one of the best quarterback performances of the century. He was like, we've seen Peyton Manning in 07, Phillip Rivers 07, Lamar Jackson in 2019, Tom Brady in 07. That's the type of game that that Drew Lock had yesterday as the Giants play themselves right out of having the power of the number one overall pick. Desperately need a quarterback. Shedeur Sanders was already looking at real estate in the greater New York City area. And now, I don't know, Giants are going to have to spend a fortune to move up and get a quarterback or something. It's totally hilarious. Here's a Giants fan on the John Gruden shred line, just feeling the pain that I imagine every Giants fan feels right now.
Coach, I'm calling in. This is Phil from Queens. I watched the New York Giants game. I'm devastated. I just want to say I'm not mad at the players of the Giants. Players are going to play. They played hard. Good for them. I'm mad at our sorry-ass fat f***ing coach for putting us in this situation. Brian Daboll should not have a job tomorrow morning. Joe Shane gets the f*** out. Those two people completely screwed his organization. They should not have a chance to pick the quarterback of the future. F*** those guys. I just want to say, f*** the Indianapolis Colts with the sorriest defense I've ever f***ing seen. Drew Lock scored 5 touchdowns on you. This is something that damages our future. You know what? Congrats to the Tennessee Titans. You got your quarterback. Congrats to New England Patriots. You have the first pick. You'll either draft Travis Hunter or you'll trade him for 5 more picks and draft good players. The New York Giants are f***ed because they won today.
Oh, yes. That is what, those are the sounds from New York City that we love to hear. Giants fans in a complete just meltdown mode.
His numbers were really good if you look at all the metrics, as you said.
Drew Lock.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was an all-time performance.
He was 13-16 against zone coverage for 268 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Average yards per attempt, 16.8. No blitz. He was 14-17 for 226. 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Average yards per attempt, 13.3. He was, let's see, over 10 air yards. He was 6 of 8 for 143 yards. 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. 17.9 per completion there. It's just like crazy.
It's amazing. Amazing. Drew Lock having.
They only blitzed him. They blitzed him 6 times in this game. He was 3 of 6. For 83 yards for a touchdown, 13.8 yards per carry, or per pass. So, my man had a day. I mean, he had a day.
Oh, he had the best day of his entire career.
Yeah.
And it is the win is actually the loss here. At least you are reminded as a Giants fan that Malik Nabers is super, super nasty.
Yeah.
171 yards, 2 touchdowns. So, you have the pass catcher. But unfortunately, you played yourself out of the quarterback opportunity. So,
and
on the same day that Saquon is reaching the 2K milestone, you have the Giants doing this. Just as down bad as it gets. And then across town, you have what the Jets are doing, and with Aaron Rodgers, and now they're talking about talking about Rex Ryan getting interviewed, whoa, talking about Ron Rivera. Did you see Ron Rivera's name?
Oh, wow.
Get thrown in the mix there. The Jets are, they're in desperation mode. I don't know what coach is going to want this. Garrett Wilson, the stud receiver out of Ohio State.
He wants no part of this.
If Aaron Rodgers is back, the reports, how hard is it to play a game with a quarterback when the reports are out there and everybody knows that you can't stand the guy? And ever since Devontae Adams showed up, you've been sort of cast aside as it pertains to being the focal point of the offense and getting targets. And so the reports before the game, it's like, yeah, if Aaron Rodgers is back with the Jets next year, Garrett Wilson's going to demand a trade. That's not good. How can Aaron Rodgers come back, though? I don't understand how the Jets would want to do that. He had a 1.2 QBR yesterday, did Aaron Rodgers. That's the lowest QBR game since Davis Mills in week four of 2021. And remember the Sam Darnold I'm seeing ghost game versus the Patriots? Sam Darnold had the same QBR that night that Aaron Rodgers had yesterday. And it was hilarious to watch the videos of them. They have this huge boom box. The team's coming out of the tunnel before the game. They're playing Gangster's Paradise. And then they just get absolutely mopped by Buffalo. And then Aaron Rodgers decides to bench himself.
Yeah.
What'd you think about this one? Here was Aaron Rodgers after the game. They're getting boat raced, and all of a sudden, here comes Tyrod Taylor. How did that happen, Aaron?
What was the conversation like with Jeff when you get out of the game? What were your thoughts on that?
No, I mean, it was 33-0. We were sitting there, and I said at some point, probably go to Tyrod here, huh? And then the next play, they threw a screen for a touchdown, so it's 48-0.
It's like at that point, I just went ahead and checked myself out of the game here.
Yeah.
That's a bad look, is it not?
Yeah. Well, he's a bad look to begin with. At his metrics, those numbers are just, you're right about that. In breaking routes, 3 of 7 for 63 yards, interception. Under pressure, he was 5 of 6 for 55 yards. Anything that was downfield, he was 1 of 5. And over 10 yards, air yards, you know, over 10 air yards. Mm-hmm. He was 1 of 5 for 28 yards, and he had an interception. So, yeah, his numbers were just awful when it came to what they needed to get done yesterday.
Garrett Wilson's quote after the game was, "I always feel like we go out there, the vibes feel right, we're ready to play, then we get our ass kicked." That's the quote from Garrett Wilson, who apparently can't stand Aaron Rodgers and wants to get up out of here. Mm-hmm. The QBR metric has almost 10,000 games under its belt, 9,697 games in their database, just QBR metric. And that Rodgers game would rank 9,677th. So it is one of the single worst quarterback performances we've ever witnessed. And for him to go out that way... You also have, because the night before you had Joe Burrow and Cincinnati doing what they did and T. Higgins going off in that game, especially late in that game.
Yeah.
And so you had Sauce Gardner commenting on a T. Higgins video because T. Higgins is going to be a free agent. We'll see if they franchise tag him. Maybe he comes back to Cincy, but he's going to be one of the big names in free agency as one of the best wide receivers on the market. Sauce Gardner commented on a T. Higgins video and just said, pay the man. Yeah. And then a Jets fan said, well, Sauce, tell him to come to the Jets. And Sauce replied, Jets corner replied, I will not be telling him that.
Wow.
I mean, I can't imagine what the newspapers, like the front and back page.
Page 6.
Between the Jets and the Giants, they must just be having a field day right now with how embarrassing everything is for both franchises. And they're not the only ones. Like with what the Giants did yesterday, playing themselves out of a top flight pick, that's what the Raiders have done for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I saw this, Raider Joe sent me this, our buddy. Since the Raiders took over the number one draft spot, they've over the last couple of weeks, they've had 0 penalties. They've had 0 turnovers. They've forced 5 turnovers. Yeah. They've sacked the quarterback 9 times. They're first in takeaways, first in rushing, first in quarterback QBR, and they're first in the tight end yards per reception
because Brock Bowers is being an animal. Yeah.
But the Raiders just these bad franchises. They don't know when.
They can't help themselves.
When it's time to win, they inevitably lose. When it's time to lose, they inevitably win. Yeah. And this the coaching stuff here that's coming up here with the carousel. I don't imagine that Antonio Pierce is keeping his job. You have Gerard Mayo as the head coach with the Patriots. And he's talking about how they're probably just going to be going into full tank mode.
Yeah.
Patriots have a 79% chance of landing the first overall pick now that the Giants did what they did yesterday. So I think that Drake May's probably not going to play on Sunday. The Patriots want
that
they
want the pick, yeah.
Because you either draft Travis Hunter, all-world dude, or you hold the number one pick up for ransom and a schmo team like the Giants or the Raiders who had the number one overall pick but had to get a couple of useless victories will now have to trade a bunch of first-round picks to go up. So that's definitely a spot you want to be if you're New England right now. That's a great place to be when you're picking number one and you don't need a quarterback.
Right.
You just everything, and especially, especially in a draft like this when you have an all-world caliber type dude in Travis Hunter, that you can just say, okay, like we got no problem just staying here. You're going to have to up the ante if you want to move up and get your quarterback. So the Patriots are in prime position, and they're going to do it the right way. They're going to see, oh, we have the number one pick. Let's do everything in our power to lose the football game.
Yeah. Crazy.
And I don't know if Jerod Mayo's keeping his job. That one continues to be.
I bet you he does keep his job. I'd be interested with the Raider one, though, with Tom Brady now in the mix.
Tom Brady's he's calling some shots.
Yeah.
And he likes him some Mike Vrabel.
He does.
So, I mean, I don't think the Raiders are going to stick with Antonio Pierce.
I don't think they
will. It's probably a coin flip here with Jerod Mayo and the Patriots. But
Coin flip with McCarthy now? Did he go from being like coming back to maybe some questions now?
I don't know how the Joneses view it, man.
Well, before the game.
Seemed like a lock.
We're all leaning like he was going to come back, and I wonder if now that's a question mark.
What do you think?
I think he's coming back.
Yeah.
I don't think the Joneses have a stomach for a coaching search. That's my opinion. And I could, it's, again, my opinion, probably wrong. I just, they have to prove to me they have a stomach for a coaching search, and I don't know if they do. I don't know if they do or not, so.
Well, this was Adam Schefter on ESPN Sunday Countdown before the game yesterday. Listen to him
talking about if
McCarthy has saved his job.
When I say maybe, it's not that he's not deserving. It's that it goes both ways. Number one, Jerry Jones has got to decide, hey, I want to renew him. And Mike McCarthy has the ability to go talk to whoever he wants about a head coaching job.
Awesome. Huh.
So he can go listen to the New Orleans Saints where he's coached before. If they want to talk to him, he can go listen to the New York Jets. He can go listen to any team that has an opening that wants to go talk to Mike McCarthy. So it goes both ways. And by the way, they've talked about what a great job he's done, and people saying he saved his job. I think he's absolutely proven himself to a certain extent. But the fact of the matter is, Jerry Jones has not given him an extension. He's not done anything like that just yet. So this has played on, which tells me that Jerry is interested in Mike, but Jerry also is probably reviewing his options.
Well, that was encouraging hearing that from Schefter as somebody who is hoping for a change at the head coaching position.
You think the Joneses have a stomach for this? That go into a full, extensive coaching search?
No.
What it's going to take? What it's going to take to go get the absolute best coach and the best staff that they can get.
Well, that's you imagining that's what they want. They don't want the best coach possible.
Mm.
I mean, they're very comfortable with just having a good coach and just having a good quarterback. And that's what you can qualify what Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott are.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, and Jerry was talking about this with KNC on Friday, which is we've gone all in on Dak. We're going all in on just good. Now we're gonna make our roster around that, and we're gonna be cutting corners everywhere because we've paid Dak the ultimate money, and now we're gonna expect him to be the ultimate quarterback.
Right.
And you've had a decade to realize that ain't him. Yeah. But they're fine with that. They're fine just paying great money to good, and then expecting the good to just magically become great when they start ripping parts all the way around the roster. And other teams don't do that. Just because they pay, because the market dictates they got to reset the market with their quarterback, they don't look at their quarterback like he is the best. Yes, we've paid him the most. We've paid Jalen Hurts. So does Philadelphia just say, go win it for us, Jalen?
No,
they put plenty of talent around him. And so if you're going to do that, if you're going to pay a good quarterback great money, then you have to understand that that's going to come with still needing a bunch of talent on that roster. And the Cowboys, they don't do that. And for since Jimmy, other than the brief moment with Parcells, which was born out of necessity so Jerry could get his stadium, they haven't been able to identify a great coach. They just are, they're comfortable with the good.
It's fair.
So my guess is, despite what happened yesterday and despite what's happened over the course of the last half decade with McCarthy, they will probably go and do the extension with him.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they did move on from McCarthy, they're going to have one or two guys that they're zeroing in on, and they're not going to make it some huge extensive search, right?
See, that's I think you're right about that. I just don't think they have the stomach for it. That's why I think they're going to, you know, they don't want to do the extensive search. They really don't. You know, you're absolutely right in everything you're saying.
And they probably are crossing their fingers that Zimmer's going to stay and they can just keep the continuity on that side of the ball.
I would keep an eye on.
If Zimmer wants to keep coaching?
I think Zimmer's, this was tough this year. All the stuff he had to go through, this was tough. It's a tough campaign. So keep an eye on that one.
Yeah, and the thing with Zimmer, too, and I'm in favor of him being back, what he's been able
to
do.
He might just decide he didn't want to coach anymore.
He might.
Yeah.
He might. And the defense has certainly gotten better as the season went on, and the defense was just hammered with injuries pretty much all year.
Did a great job, I think.
Oh, he did.
I mean, and I said it earlier, and I know during the year people were getting on my ass about it, and I'm going to take a, you know, if Mike McCarthy comes back, I'm going to take a victory lap on that one. Because I felt like that, hey, Mike Zimmer came in here and he saved Mike McCarthy's job. Because that offense wasn't anything any good. They didn't figure out how to run the football until like week 15.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, the only question I would have about Zimmer if he's here for next year is we were wondering how he was going to do versus the really new age style offenses with all the motion and all that kind of stuff that Dan Quinn's defense traditionally struggled.
Need to get better.
And I know it was early in the season and everything was discombobulated, but that's when you saw Baltimore and New Orleans doing the San Francisco stuff, and you couldn't stop it at all.
Right.
So that'll still remain a question. But overall, Zimmer's done plenty to save his job. I guess it's just going to be a matter of if he wants it or not.
No, I was thinking if Zimmer saves Mike McCarthy's job. That's the thing I was saying.
Yeah. I think to this point he has. My guess is McCarthy's back, and we'll see if Zimmer wants to be or if he just wants to
just keep an
go
eye
to
on
the
that
horses.
One. Yeah, keep an eye.
All right, we'll get you the Mike McCarthy presser coming up here in about 30 minutes, but coming up next, it's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Heating and Air.
Yeah, let's take a look at this Cowboys-Eagles game from a film view. We'll do that next.
All right, we're going to get you an early edition of Krusty's Corner today because we have the Mike McCarthy press conference coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. Segment here in the Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Also brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-333-3333. With Frankel & Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's Brian Broaddus, Krusty's Corner. The first installment, we'll get Krusty's Corner 2.0 at 5:20. But thank you to Reliant Heating and Air.
Yeah, that's exactly. Appreciate that, Chief. Thank you very much, Lucius. Great to have you back, man. Ferguson's fumble. I'm going to start with that one. I'm going to do offense first, and then I'll do defense in the 5:20. How about that?
Okay. Let's look at the offense.
Look at the offense.
The offense was offensive yesterday.
It was offensive. Ferguson's fumble. I'm going to blame this one on Cooper Rush.
Wow. All right. Let's see how you make this one work. Your anti-ginger stuff is really starting to shine through again.
I'm going
to
blame Cooper Rush for this because I think this was a terrible choice to throw the ball to Ferguson on this play. To throw the ball inside to Ferguson with three Eagle defenders around him, instead of throwing a ball to the outside with Tolbert 18 yards with nobody there, and the play is designed as kind of a two-read play where you have a deeper route and then the shallow route.
Mm-hmm.
He throws that ball to Tolbert. It's a huge play.
Wow.
Instead, he throws the ball inside. And when you watch it on tape, and I'll show it to you when we get done here, I'll pull it up and you'll go, okay, I see what you're talking about here. But he is running to his right. He has nobody in his face. And instead of like downfield, Tolbert 18 yards, right between the numbers and the sidelines. Nobody near him. And he could see Tolbert. I have no idea why he threw the ball back inside with all that clutter and all those green jerseys around there.
Did he even look at Tolbert, or was he just locked in on Ferguson? He knew that way. Because you're right. I'm looking at the play now. He's got plenty of time. He rolls out to the right. Nolan Smith is like 6 yards away from him.
Can you see Tolbert on the play?
I can't see where Tolbert is on the play.
18 yards down the field.
But yeah, I see that there's...
It's a two-level read.
Ferguson's surrounded by four green jerseys.
Yeah. And he decides to like try and fit a ball into Ferguson with four green jerseys standing right around him. Instead, he could have thrown the ball to Tolbert, like I said, once again for the 18th time. To the outside there, he makes the catch, gets up the field. It's a big play. I blame Cooper Rush for that fumble because that ball should have never gone to Ferguson. Should have never gone to Ferguson.
Something happens to Cooper Rush when he's playing the Eagles.
Yeah. That was a huge, huge mistake on that particular play. All right. Rush is pick six. I'm killing Rush right now, don't you get that? You get that feeling?
Yeah, I get that feeling.
You get that feeling?
I get that feeling that you thought he was the better quarterback going into the game, and then he completely asked the bed.
That's why I'm doing radio with you right now, bro.
No, I love it. I love it.
I thought he was the better quarterback going into this game, and he really did not play like that.
Bobby co-signed it. Bobby co-signed it.
Huh? That's because I forced him to.
But there's just something, like Rush always plays his worst versus the Eagles.
Yeah. Never again will I ever think that, you know, we didn't think they were going to win.
We didn't think the Cowboys were going to win.
No, but anyway. All right, he's pick six. It appears they're playing what they call man free, which is a free safety in the middle of the field, man coverage underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you got a deep safety, and then everybody else is in man coverage. What happens on the play is Gardner Johnson and Bond, the linebacker, this is what happens when you don't have CeeDee Lamb in the game. You could double cover people. Ferguson's getting double covered here.
Okay.
They've got a kind of an in and out coverage on him. What happens though, Ferguson, they're running him inside and they're going to run the slant behind. So Cooper Rush thinks that, okay, Gardner Johnson and Bond are going to go inside with Ferguson. And that's going to open up a window for him to throw the slant. Problem is, Cooper Rush is looking at the slant the whole time. He never looks anywhere else. Like, he is literally takes the snap, and he is just staring at that spot. Gardner Johnson's like, bro, you're staring at this spot. You're about to throw the ball right behind me. Doesn't move. Just doesn't even. You would think, oh, well, hey, man coverage person. Nah. He knows that Ferguson's not going to get that ball,
mm-hmm.
and he holds his ground. Rush throws the ball anyway, and that's where you get Gardner Johnson standing right there. Like, there was no reason for him to move the way that Cooper Rush set up.
Yeah, you see these quarterbacks and the way that they can get safeties to go one way.
They can kind of keep looking
and
straight.
They know they're throwing it back the other way.
They're throwing it back the other way. But he is set up where his eyes are planted on Cooks coming on the slant.
Seems like Cooper Rush was doing a lot of that yesterday where he was before the snap deciding who he was going to throw it to.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. How about this one? Turpin got the ball on the handoff coming left and looked like he was going to score?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Turpin's got to keep his feet. This is going to be a touchdown.
He's probably got like four or five almost touchdowns.
And just trips over somebody along the way?
Yeah, over the last couple of years.
Or
runs right into the defender or whatever.
Okay. The missed touchdown, I call it the Turpin's missed touchdown in my notes. Hunter Lipke's in the game at fullback and he's set to the right of the formation. The ball is handed off to Turpin coming left. So what they're doing is they're trying to give you a look like, okay, we're setting up strength to the right, and we're going to run the ball back to the left is what we're going to do here, run it weak side. You get excellent blocks by Adoga and Smith, and then BB actually gets to the second level.
Yeah, he does. I'm watching the play right now.
Yeah. So You got Adoga, Smith, Beebe, all with blocks.
Lipke with a great block.
Yeah. Brooks gets the final block. You seen that one?
Yeah, he's coming from left to right, sealing off the safety.
Blankenship, like, Brooks comes off the guy he's blocking to go inside to block Blankenship, the safety.
And now it's just Turpin in the corner.
Yeah, except Turpin trips over Brooks's legs.
I was about to say, was that Brooks's legs? Yeah. As Brooks is trying to get the block for him?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that ends up being, there's no way anybody's chasing him down there. Even though, I'll tell you what, that Cooper DeJean speed is real. Yeah. That jumped off the screen on that Chauncey Gardner touchdown.
Uh-huh.
He's just running alongside him. Yeah. So DeJean, that would have been a pretty fun foot race there because DeJean is the one that ends up jumping on Turpin there at the end. But yeah, that's really unfortunate. That would have been a huge play.
That thing is going to go.
That's a house call. 50 yards.
Easy. House call there.
I do like this inside stuff, though. Like, they're getting Turpin between the tackles, and you're getting some good gains. Unfortunately, you left a lot of meat on that bone.
No, you did. You absolutely. All right. Rush's second interception here. Going to talk about that one. Official screwed you on this one.
This is the one before the half?
This was the one that went to deep ball down the middle, like triple coverage. Yeah, but let me tell you what's going on here. Officials missed the call. You watch the play. Cook's jersey gets grabbed by Mitchell.
Mm.
Like, Cooks doesn't have a chance to run and get the ball because he gets grabbed by Mitchell on the play. Okay? Officials missed the call. Like, he's running by Mitchell and his jersey gets tugged, which almost brings him to a stop as he's trying to run through it. That's why the ball looked like it was so far down the field.
Yes.
Cooks had no shot. All his momentum got stopped by Mitchell.
He should have sold it more.
He didn't, yeah.
He didn't really sell it. Yeah.
Flop it.
Just, you know, flail a little bit.
Yeah. But you could see on the tape that they grab him. Mitchell grabs him and pulls the jersey, and it just brings him to like a stop. And but the ball's down the field, officials miss it, and unfortunately they don't call the penalty. It should have been illegal contact, defensive holding, pass interference, whatever penalty you want to give for that. Official missed that one. That was really a terrible miss by those guys. All right. Let's talk about the deep shot to Mingo.
Third and one.
This ball was going to go to Mingo all the way. Rush had three options on this play, all of them underneath. He had an option with Ferguson. He had an option with Elliott. And he also had Cooks on the double move on the outside that was able to get open. But this is Mingo on the double move, and it does work.
I mean, Mingo's open.
He's open. Mitchell's beat on the play. Mingo's looking for the ball inside. Cooper throws it to the outside. Post-game, Mike McCarthy was talking about wind. I was hearing some whispers the coaches weren't too happy about the throw.
So they wanted him to throw it to Mingo. It was just a bad throw by Rush. Throw. I mean, it hung up in the air for a while.
Bad throw. Yeah.
And like you said, threw it to the sideline when it needed to just go right into the breadbasket.
Yeah. Now, sometimes these quarterbacks are taught to throw the ball outside of the sidelines, so only their guy can go get it.
Unless he's wide open and he has the corner and the safety both beat.
Right. Yeah.
Which was encouraging for Mingo as we look for next year. Like, okay, there's a little something
okay,
there.
Okay, well, let me give you Mingo's 12-yard reception. Here's my final play before we get to McCarthy.
All right.
He had a 12-yard reception this game.
Heck yeah,
This is a really, really nice job of the offensive line sorting out. The Eagles try a 4-man twist stunt, and the Cowboys do a great job of sorting it out. Rush has got plenty of time. Mingo goes up the field, then back to the inside. Mitchell, the cornerback, can't keep up with him and slides to the turf. So, like, the route, the physicality that Mingo had kind of forced Mitchell to be off balance. And then that way Mingo was able to come back for the ball. Good pass by Cooper Rush. Ball was right there, right where it needed to be.
Snap the Cooper.
But big, big play right there for Mingo. We've been kind of thinking, okay, maybe he could get some plays. Maybe he could get some opportunities here. That was a good route by him. Good protection, good ball, good route, good reception, gets you 12 yards. And so, but you didn't get nearly enough of that as the game wore on. So we'll talk about the defense in the when we get to, 5:20 today?
Yeah, Krusty's Corner.
Things that happened to them.
2.0 with the defense there. Yeah. Okay, there's your look at the offense. Thank you, Brian Broda, Super Bowl winning scout, each and every day. Usually at 3:40, but we got the McCarthy presser coming up next, so we'll hit that. And then Jock Peterson at some point in the 4 o'clock hour. That's next in the nation. Thank you, Lucius. We are awaiting the Mike McCarthy press conference live from the Star in Frisco. He will be going live here in just a moment, so we'll get you that here in a few minutes. We are supposed to have Jock Peterson joining the program at some point in the 4 o'clock hour today. Looking forward to that. And, of course, on Thursday, we will be into 2025, and we will have Dawson and Wolchuk back in studio. So we're excited about some of the football that's going on, though. I'll tell you what, that Sunday night football game last night, Penix versus Daniels, a peek into the future at the quarterback position, and that thing going to overtime there. Jaden Daniels was out of his mind last night. He is running around all over the place. They have really unleashed the beast as it's pretty much postseason time. And now it's going to be a meaningless game for the Commanders on Sunday.
It might not be. It might not be. They're playing for the sixth seed. They're playing for the sixth seed, aren't they? Green Bay, if them and Green Bay, they're playing 6-7. Like if they lose and Green Bay wins, I think that Green Bay's the sixth and they're the seventh. That's the difference between going to Philly and being in the outdoors and cold at the second seed, or going and playing the Rams, the third seed, I believe. I think I got that right.
Well, I'm going to have to take a look at that then. I was thinking that they were locked, and
I might be totally wrong about this, but I think the Commanders are playing for the sixth seed. I think if Green Bay were to win, they would have the same record as the Commanders. And so I think they're 6-7's being played there. I might be wrong about that.
No, I see. I'm looking at it right now, and you're right. I mean, they're locked for the playoffs.
They're locked for the playoffs.
The Packers technically are the 7 seed right now.
Right.
And the Commanders are the 6.
Right. And so, there's one game difference between the two, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So
Commanders lose, Packers win, there could be a flip for the seeding right there, right?
Yes.
And that could be the difference between them having to be the 7th seed and going to play outdoors at Philadelphia, mm-hmm, or going indoors
to Los Angeles versus the Rams.
Bingo.
And you'd definitely rather go to Los Angeles and take on the Rams, right?
I think so. Haven't the Rams, they've had trouble scoring here lately, haven't they?
Yes, their offense they have struggled ever since, I think, that game versus the Bills, which was a high-flying, out-of-this-world scoring kind of game. Mm-hmm. They beat the Bills, and then ever since then, their offense has been sort of stuck in the mud a little bit. So, yes, I think you would definitely, for the Commanders, you're going to want to go
that.
Ahead.
I think I got that right.
Yeah, I think you nailed that. Yeah. Now, congrats to the Rams, though, because they've clinched the playoff spot, and they're the first team in NFL history to enter their bye week under 500 and make the playoffs in back-to-back seasons.
That's amazing.
Every time we want to count the Rams out, mm-hmm, ever since they've won the Super Bowl, and they went clearly, I mean,
that's
they were
the 49ers.
Really going all in.
That's the 49ers completely falling apart, though, too. Arizona falling apart. Seattle lost some bad games along the way, too, didn't they? Couple of those.
Oh, Seattle's been really, really bad.
Yeah.
That division, you thought it was one of those, it was going to be a tight race because all these teams are like all pretty good, but
yeah,
Seattle's proven to be not good.
Yeah.
They win 6-3 versus the Bears the other night. Very impressive.
I think
Cardinals have really.
Yeah, Seattle have had, I mean, Seattle was on a run where they lost 5 of 6 games. They lost game people, the Lions. They remember that terrible loss against the Giants where they got the field goal blocked. No shame of losing the 49ers. They lost to Buffalo. You mentioned that. And they lost the Rams in overtime. You know, so they've had some bad, I think that Giants loss is the one you kind of look at and kind of say, okay, well that's a killer right there.
Yeah, you can't lose. I think we had a couple of survivor picks on that game.
Yep, you did.
Everybody figured that the Seahawks would be able to win that one. Not the case.
Their losses have been against some really, really, really good teams. They've lost. They've lost to the, I'll go back. They split with the 49ers this year. They've lost to the Bills. They've lost to the Packers, and they've lost to the Vikings. And that's some pretty significant losses, but good teams.
Well, week 17, I saw this from Seth Walder of ESPN, produced both the highest QBR game and the lowest QBR game of the season. So we had both ends of the spectrum from quarterback dominance to incompetence, and it is Lamar Jackson with the highest QBR in any game this year, and that was 99.8. meaning he gave his team a 99.8% chance to win the football game. And the lowest QBR game of the season goes to Aaron Rodgers yesterday with a 1.2. So have you guys seen, Lucius, have you seen the Aaron Rodgers documentary or anything yet?
No.
Is it in the queue for you, or you have no interest?
I don't know, man. I really have to like go through every app that I have and say, well, they haven't posted anything. I guess I'll check that Aaron Rodgers out.
Oh, okay. So that's last resort.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was, I saw.
What are you saying? You've seen it a few times probably now. Huh? Let me run it back.
It was appointment television. Didn't get it all the first time. Had to rewatch it. No, I mean, it's a good story. The dude's got a super interesting story, no matter how you slice it. And they go back to the high school and the college stuff and all that has taken place throughout his career. There's no doubt it is a great story to sort of follow, but it also shows just all the craziness in his own life and all the stuff that he's brought to New York with him now. Mm-hmm. And now it's all ending in a disastrous way. I don't know who is going to. There's no way the Jets are going to want him. I don't know what team is going to be interested in his services at this point.
I'm sorry, Eric. I'm circled back. I was just looking up something. The Packers and Commanders have the same record. They're both 11-5. And you know,
Then I guess the Commanders have the tiebreaker right now.
Yeah, because they're what I'm saying. So like they both like the Commanders need to win and the Packers need to win. Am I right about that? If they're trying to get the sixth seed,
if you're trying to
avoid Philadelphia, you need to find a way to win this game. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yes. Yeah. No. And you're totally right. You're totally right.
Okay. I didn't want to mess people up there. You know, because I think there's a difference between playing the Rams and playing out in the cold potentially in Philadelphia. You know?
Yeah, yeah, and Green Bay is one of those teams that...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to circle back on that.
No, it's okay.
I thought there was a one-game difference, but they're actually tied record-wise.
But I guess strength of schedule or whatever favors the Commanders. So
You don't find that suspicious.
As long as the Commanders beat the Cowboys on Sunday, then they're a surefire lock. But if the Commanders were to lose, then the Packers win, then the Packers would jump.
Right.
So, all right, let's go live to the Mike McCarthy presser, live from the Star in Frisco.
What? I didn't say anything.
Wrong day not to wear a hat.
Mike, David Moore, Dallas Morning News. I have a question and a follow-up. You were saying... It's the message to the team in the last few weeks here been just what you start, you finish, and how have they taken to that message, do you feel?
Pretty much. I mean, you know, different variations of it. But, you know, and I think clearly, you know, understanding where we are today, coming off of a hard loss, you know, we need to finish the race. I mean, it's our responsibility. It's our commitment. So, you know, definitely be in that realm.
And along with that, the competitive realities for both teams have changed a little bit. You're out of it. Washington's in. Given that climate, are there some players who haven't played to this point in the season you would like to get a little more time to?
Yeah, I mean, lineup-wise, no, I'm not really ready to discuss that. We haven't even started our game plan process. So, you know, we're still collecting some data on a couple guys. But, you know, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape health-wise. So. We'll know more tonight.
Mike Tarrant with ESPN. We've asked about your job and your future in a variety of ways during the course of the season. How much do you want to be back? You have a chance to be a free agent in a way yourself.
Well, I think the biggest thing, Todd, is, and I do appreciate you the opportunity to speak on it, but, you know, I've answered this question the same forever how many months now. So I think the the focus, you know, I need to make sure I'm doing exactly what I'm asking everybody else to do. So we need to finish the race. It's been a challenging year. So based on our contract situation for the coaches, I mean, it's stating the obvious, but, you know, we'll have time to talk about that next week.
Saad, you said The Athletic. Mike, just how did Micah come out of the game? I know he was a little dinged up. Do you expect him to go this week?
I mean, so far, you know, based off the information I have now, I actually will head there. I have a 4:30 meeting with those guys.
And then just what did you see from the turnovers yesterday, both in terms of the offense and then also the defense not being able to take the ball away? Just when you guys were successful in the last five games, the turnover margin was near the top of the league.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we keep track of, you know, takeaway and giveaway opportunities. We had a few takeaway opportunities that we didn't convert. So we're definitely still putting ourselves in position to take advantage of that. So and really the giveaways are disheartening, frankly. I mean they were giveaways. I mean they're careless giveaways. So that's the hard, you know, the hard part for us offensively, because, you know, we had a game plan. And, you know, the fact of, you know, running the football, staying favorable down a distance, the third down was in the low, 40, 42, 43% area. So, you know, it really came down to, you know, taking care of the football. You know, if you'd have told me we'd been able to be above 30 rushes in a game, I would have told you we'll win the game. You know, that's how I felt the game needed to go. You know, we never really challenged them to play. They were able to, you know, play conservatively with their backup quarterback, and then, you know, when with the turnovers and the points off the turnovers, you know, they were able to play to their strength, and that's running the football. So, it's an opportunity that we obviously didn't take advantage of.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. What are your thoughts on some of your players saying we want you to come back next year?
No, I mean, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just a reflection of what we have here. I mean, it's a reflection of, you know, everybody talks about culture, you know, and I'm not up here to give a bunch of buzzwords, but we do things the right way. I can attest to that. I've done this long enough to have a strong opinion to how to run a program, what's best for the players. The players are coached, you know, they're coached with detail. There's demand there, accountability. So, you know, the basics are in place. But we're like nobody, we're like any other program. We need to get better. There's a number of areas we need to improve on. So, but that's what the offseason's for. This is not the week to be getting into these discussions. But I think it's just really a reflection of what we have here in place. You know, we have a coaching operation. We have a locker room. We have the things, you know, within our realm that you need to win. And we had a number of challenges this year, and we didn't overcome them all. And that's why I'm standing here talking about not being in the playoffs. But, you know, I do. I think we got a great group of men to work with, you know, stud vets. You know, we brought vets in from other places more late than we've had in the past. It took them a little longer to get, you know, everybody tied together. But I do think we have, you know, we have a young group of players that have played a lot of football. And my personal experience with that is that will pay dividends moving forward. So I think the future is bright, and, you know, we have a lot of things in place here. So we need to take a step back after next week, and obviously a lot of decisions got to be, a lot of business decisions got to be made because of our contract situation, and that's what we'll do.
Yeah.
Joe White, All City, Dallas. You guys had four total pressures. Do you attribute that mostly to?
I'm sorry, four what?
Four total pressures.
Okay.
Do you attribute that mostly to trying to stop Saquon and kind of that impact, or his production?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've answered the question. I mean, it's just, you know, how many times did they run the ball? I mean, it's, you know, that's the way the game went, you know, and I think it really goes back to my, you know, my answer about the turnovers. You know, it took us, you know, in a direction down a path that we shouldn't have, didn't want to go in, and then obviously we're not able to overcome it. So, you know, you get the ball and score there on that first drive, and then obviously the second drive, I think we're talking about maybe a different ball game. So, you know, they got to play with the lead, play out front. You know, their defense was not going to give us anything over the top. They were going to make us earn it, and we turned the ball over. So, and they benefited from and were able to run the ball for the majority of the second half.
Thanks, Joe.
Mike, Josh Tolentino, Lone Star Live. Yesterday, Tyler Smith said that he didn't sense anyone quit. And from your perspective, would you agree with that sense?
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. I think that, I mean, if you, we all were at the game. You saw the way the game started. You know, that game was about one team took care of the ball and one team didn't. And that was the biggest swing in momentum, you know, especially on the road. They converted points off of those turnovers. So, and, you know, they got to play to their strength through the whole second half.
Garrett Podell, CBS Sports. Mike, Trey Lance got in a little bit at the end of the last game. Would you say that week 18 is a great opportunity to start him, or is Cooper still the starter?
Well, I think all those decisions. I mean, I really like what Cooper's done. I think we all have to recognize the job that he's done to this point. So, but we're – you know, this is the time you do think about, you know, not only the quarterback positions, all positions. You know, we want to make sure that, you know, we do have information on our young players. Frankly, we probably have plenty because of how much they played. So, but yeah, we're not really looking, you know, to answer those kind of questions right now. And so we'll talk about that moving forward. But I'd like to be in a position where everybody plays. You know, I think that's would be practical. But how we make it happen and, you know, how we put together the game plan, you know, that's what we'll be doing here in the next 36 hours.
If Trey has to play, is he ready to play?
Trey's ready to play. Will's ready to play. You know, I'd like our quarterback room. It's a really good room. Those guys are all sharp in the game plans. They've been, you know, great teammates, assets, getting Cooper ready each week, just like Cooper did for Dak. So, you know, the mode, the method, and the operation of it is definitely what you're looking for. I'm proud of the way that room works together. All three of those guys will be ready to play.
Austin Richards was designated to return, you know, last week. Is this a guy? Do you think he has a chance to play this week?
Definitely. All these guys are. I mean, this is what we'll be talking about the next couple of days. You know, we'll practice. In shells on Wednesday or helmets on Wednesday, shells on Thursday. So we'll see how we can work these guys in. The biggest thing is really is getting a 48 right. You know, you try to rep. Get the reps right during the course of the week to get these guys play, but you know I'd like to see all these young guys play if it works out that way.
Okay,
we asked you about playing all these guys. The other side of that is, after you put your game plan together, do you talk at all about players who are within certain milestones of if it works in the course of the game? Let's make sure they get it, whether it's Parsons getting 10 sacks or a player getting a touchdown to tie, you know.
Definitely. I mean, that's something that, you know, if there is a player in that situation, ran the ball or, you know, have done those things in the past. Yeah, I'd be all for helping an individual get a personal milestone.
That it? Good. Thank you, Mike.
All right, thank you.
All right, there it is, the Mike McCarthy press conference brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. All right, let's kick off the 4 o'clock hour. We're on Jock Peterson watch. We got the Wooly Bully top 10 list of the day and a rim sesh all coming up next right here on The Fan.